Welcome to the Gut Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Thank you, Guts Church. Thank you, Pastor Bill and Sandy, for the opportunity to bring the word tonight. That's what we're going to do. It's Wednesday night. It's midweek. I was talking to a guy this afternoon, and he goes, you still have like a midweek service at the Guts Church? I'm like, come on, man, yes. We're old school and new school all at the same time. We're the best. So welcome to the church, our church. What an amazing place. And just been getting after it, helping people, saving souls for 28, 9 years. I mean, just getting it. Pastor Bill's been doing it since he got saved and the man. So it's going to be fun tonight. We're going to dive in the Word a little bit. My wife is here. Her name's Molly. Molly Jo Lynn. Oh, yeah. Jo Lynn is the favorite middle name of Cleburne, Texas, so enjoy that. We have 4 kids. Molly makes all that work. I did walk into one of their rooms yesterday. Brave is our son, and he's finally big enough. He was riding Landry, our 4-year-old, but not really because I think he's too fat now. He was on her back, and he was going, yeah, yeah. That's like his trick. That's like his only word. And I couldn't hear what Landry was saying, and she was face down, smushed, going, nay, trying to be the horse, you know. But I think he met his weight capacity for that game. So all good. Family's great. Let me pray real quick. God, thank you for tonight, the opportunity to be in your house. Man, just to love you as the Guts Church, God. Thank you for this great place that's impacted so many people right here in Tulsa and around the world. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. A lot of stuff going on. Kind of just an opening thought. I just, the idea that you got to enjoy your peace, because if you lose your peace, you lose your power. And I just like that thought. I'm gonna not spend a ton of time on peace, but I just was thinking about that because peace is the reward for correct focus. When our focus is right, when, you know, what you focus on gets bigger. So when the focus is right, then peace can be the fruit of that. And that's really where I want to go tonight, is just the fruit of our life. Man, what about just a big, over-the-top, fruit-bearing, I call it the fruit buffet. Just a big buffet fan in general, and I've never had a fruit buffet, but I want to talk about it tonight. I don't know why you would, like, physically waste a buffet on fruit, but I think spiritually it's a grand idea, so that's where we're going to go. And I think this, too, I think a lot of people have kind of reached their emotional max. People have been talking about 2020, and they don't like it, that, you know, all the, but it's like, I just think, So if people are at their lid emotionally, then a lot of the times what comes after that, it's going to be negative. And so I think what we have to do as Christians that have the solution and know Jesus, we've got to be sharp enough to be able to consistently hit that reset button and get hope filled so that we can help the people that are maxed out and can't control all the emotion that they're having, which ends up turning negative. So I'm going to take you in the Word real quick because this is a interesting moment. It's John 15. I'll read it out of the New Living Translation. But this is a critical moment because this is right after the Passover and right before the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay, so Jesus is about to get grabbed and taken. Judas is about to betray him. He just called that out at the Passover. He's like, man, he who dips is going to betray me. Judas dips, bat hole. Like, come on, Judas, just be smarter than that, right? So all the stuff, and it's this moment that this passage, as I studied this passage, I realized when it took place in the timeline of everything. So to say that it was kind of a shaky time for the disciples would probably be an understatement. If you are feeling shaky right now, this passage is what Jesus wanted to communicate to his guys. This is one of the last things he told them before he was violently taken away and crucified. And this is what he wanted them to know in John 15, 1. I'm the true grapevine. My Father's the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. Kind of an interesting place to go in this moment. But he's just kind of saying, man, I want you to understand the roles so that when I'm not here, you understand what it's supposed to be like. And he's talking about getting cut, and I think the reality is there's going to be some cutting regardless. Let's make sure it's the kind that doesn't get thrown out, let's make sure it's the kind that bears fruit. You've already been pruned and purified by this message because they've been with Jesus every day for 3 years. So they've heard it, they're getting it, they're starting to be pruned by it. Remain in me, and I'll remain in you, for a branch can't produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you can't be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Another translation right there says, you'll have sustained productivity. Man, for a business owner in the room tonight, man, somebody that wants an ongoing, great, productive marriage and child render, all this stuff. Man, how about some sustained productivity? That's what we want, and that's what's provided when we're in the vine. For apart from me, you can't do anything. Anyone who does not remain is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. This is negative. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Look at this last verse. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciple, and this brings great glory to my Father. When you produce much fruit, when you have that sustained productivity in your life, man, that's proof. There's another passage that says they'll know you by your fruit. Man, that fruit in our lives, that's what lets the world know who we're connected with. Man, if we're walking around complaining about the same stuff everybody else is, that's not proof that we have revelation of God the Father. That's not proof that we're children of the King. Children of the King aren't walking around talking about the lack and what a bummer the kingdom is. No. They're walking in the benefits of the kingdom. And that's what we get to do. We've just got to be tapped in and plugged in appropriately and correctly. See, it's kind of cool that Jesus breaks down the roles specifically. Man, Jesus is the vine. He's the source of the nutrients in the life. God's the gardener. He's the caregiver and the pruner. But then look at this. Look at our role as it's broken down. We get to be the branches. Man, I'd say we got the hook up there because we're the fruit bearers. And think about that. Now we provide the fruit that is the sustenance for other people. So they do all the things that are necessary, the nutrients, the pruning, the taking care of, and then we actually get to bear the fruit and provide the fruit to the people that need it. Obviously, we're going to be taken care of. We're producing the fruit. But now other people that are in the world that don't understand it, that haven't figured out how to produce it for themselves yet, we get to provide that which obviously takes them back and connects them to the vine. Man, us producing fruit proves our relationship with the gardener. So what a cool thing for Jesus to say, because he's looking at his guys and he's saying, hey, the next few days are going to get kind of wild. I want you to stay with me. Remember that I'm the vine. Remember that I provide the nutrients here. Because what's going to happen, he doesn't tell them all this verbatim, but he knows what's about to happen. These guys are going to come. Peter, you're going to try to chop an ear off. That was a great attempt. You missed his head. You chopped his ear off. I get it. Then they're going to crucify me. That's going to be awful. Then I'm going to go to hell, whoop the devil, take the keys. Then I'm going to shock you all and come back. That's what's about to happen in the next, 48 hours. So what I need you to do is realize our roles so that you can sustain during that time and then you can go change the world. But you got to recognize me as the vine. You got to recognize the pruning that's about to take place. You've seen some of it. You saw me feed 5,000 people. You saw me calm the sea. You've seen me do some of the stuff, but I'm telling you what's about to happen. You've got to have a revelation of the vine and your role as the branch. Some of the late Molly and some gals are doing a Bible study. I want to give it credit. It's called Chasing Vines. And she just randomly, Molly, if you know her, she just will randomly drop wisdom bombs on you. I'm eating a sandwich and she's bam, that was, you know, and it just stuff, okay? It takes me years to come up with one good thought. And then just randomly, she just spits them out, okay? But she's talking about this Bible study and they make a point in here. And I'm gonna try to do it justice. But if you've ever walked by just a big leafy grapevine, it's pretty neat. The leaves have bloomed. It's very full and thick and beautiful. And that's proof that the soil of that vine was very healthy and that it felt comfortable enough to produce a lot of leaves and kind of sprawl out and almost kind of make its home in that area. Very good. But what's interesting is a lot of times if there's a lot of leaf, there is no fruit. And so what this goes on to say scientifically, it actually, when there's some rock in the soil, the vine recognizes the rock as a threat, and as a result of the threat, switches into reproduction mode and starts creating the fruit that we see, enjoy, and can eat. But there has to be a little bit of rock in the soil. There has to be a little bit of a threat in the soil for it to actually decide to produce fruit. And I just think about our lives, and we're going to go here for a minute. But the potential threat that has been in us and around us. There's a guy with a PhD in plant biology, and he said that making the vine struggle results in better quality grapes. Because listen to this. Good soil gives the grapevine a choice. If there's no rocks in it, it has a choice. And given the choice, it will opt for the easy way instead of switching into reproduction mode, instead of going to the trouble of bearing fruit. Man, think about when everything's just comfortable. Man, I don't want to rock the boat. Why would you change a good thing? Right? Sometimes that comfort, it's great. It feels nice. It doesn't require or pull anything from us or out of us. So, man, I can get comfortable here. And it's going to be nice. It's going to be a big, fluffy leaf party. We love that. But all of a sudden, you kind of investigate a little bit, and there's no fruit. And what proves who we're connected to is the fruit. So think about this. When it feels the threat of like a restriction of water, when there's scarce nutrients, all of a sudden it switches into that mode. And I'm just telling you, I believe that right now, especially with what's going on in the world, a lot of us need to just kind of switch into that mode. Some of you have. That's why I don't want to say, man, you know what? I hate 2020. Whoa, stop. That's just some rocks in the soil. Man, I got to understand that the threat to me produces the fruit in me. The threat to you produces the fruit in you. So I understand there's a threat, but there's also fruit that's going to come on the backside of that. You've just got to recognize what the rock actually is. It's a threat and an opportunity. And that's where we're going to live. Cool quote, heroes are on the other side of conflict. You don't get a hero without them having to defeat something, to conquer something, to go through something, to figure something out. Heroes are on the other side of conflict. That rock just becomes the conflict that has to be overcome. If the odds were not mismatched, there wouldn't be room for a miracle. Man, I know the odds are against you. I know it feels surmounting. I know it feels bigger than you can handle. But then what that makes is a place for a miracle to actually come to fruition. So you think about all these examples from the Bible. And I don't know what else. We go back to our personal lives and we go back to the Word. But without the Red Sea, there's no Moses parting the Red Sea. David kind of needed Goliath to establish who David was. There's example after example through the Word. Joseph, man, there was jealousy and there was backstabbing that propelled Joseph to the position that he came into. Those were the rocks. Those were the threats. We recently maybe had the most intense month in our marriage. We bought a house, which is this huge win. And I'm telling you, 30 days from when we attempted to buy the house to when we moved in were wild. But here's what's crazy. I could tell you every detail along the way. Every single day there was a hurdle to overcome. We were enjoying our family vacation in Florida, and every 3 hours we'd get a call saying how we're not going to be able to move into that house on that day or at all. Underwriting screwed up. This, all the stuff. Man, we needed that to hit us because that got us in alignment and we rallied. Man, we had to put God in control of that situation. And it's fun to say today, we moved in on the exact day we planned on moving in, but had a hurdle every day to get there. So it was flawed, but it ended up being perfect. How's that possible? But I think that's where we get to live. I know it's a weird year. Man, I think there were some rocks in some marriages. And it's like, man, I don't know if we're going to be able to get around that. And now all of a sudden there's fruit that came from that. Man, the threat actually became what propelled the fruit that was needed. And now we can help other people that were navigating something similar. It makes us lean into God. It makes us tap into His grace. It's a guy named Jesse Itzler. He said, it's your privilege to solve big problems in your life and your business. It's not a chore. That's our privilege. What a cool thought. This is what we bought into. Think about Paul. So many cool examples. He's in prison. Pastor Bill's painted that picture for us so clearly, so many times, of what the prison looked like in that day. But he had to make a decision in there. He decided to sing a little bit. He decided to write some letters that impacted the church of that day that are still being read 2,000 years later. That prison was the rock in the soil that he turned into by tapping into God and tapping into that grace, something that we stand on today, that we live in today. I love what he wrote in 2 Corinthians 12:9. Turn there if you can. He said, your grace is sufficient. He said, my grace is always more than enough for you, and my power finds its full expression through your weakness. So I will celebrate my weakness, for when I'm weak, I sense more deeply the power of Christ living in me. I've got this underlined. So I'm not defeated by my weakness, but delighted. What a cool way to say that. I'm not defeated by my weakness, but I'm delighted by that. For when I feel my weakness and endure mistreatment, when I'm surrounded with troubles on every side, and I face persecution because of my love for Christ, I am made yet stronger. For my weakness becomes a portal to God's power. Come on. A little wordsmithing there in the Passion Translation. My weakness becomes a portal for his power. So now all of a sudden the world gets to see Christians respond. Yes, there was a rock in the soil. That's not how we would have planned it. It's flawed, but somehow it's perfect. That's where we get to live. There's a Navy SEAL, Chad Wright. He's a decent follow if you're looking for a follow. Christian guy. And he tells this whole story. It's a pretty cool story. He runs these ultra marathons. It's 100 miles plus. And he made a statement. He said, I'm just not going to give my pain a voice. Pretty strong statement there. I know that we deal with things. And I don't want to just like sweep it under the rug. I don't think we should act like things aren't happening, but we also don't have to give it authority. And he said he's running one of these ultra marathons and has 25 miles to go, which I can't even fathom 25 miles. I don't know that I've ever driven that far, okay? I can't imagine running it. It's crazy. And he's got 25 to go. Mr. Houston athlete, Scott, okay? You know, you can relate to this. This is news to me, okay, Scott? He's got 25 miles to go and felt his hamstring pop. Oh, I know. Disgusting. And he just decided he wasn't going to say anything about it, so he kept running. And that's where this phrase came from. He goes, I wasn't going to give my pain a voice. So he keeps running, keeps running, keeps running. Comes to like a water station, doesn't mention it, keeps running. He's got a mile left and mentions to somebody. He goes, oh, man, I'm glad it's a mile left. I think I tore my hamstring. And he said, from that moment on, it's the hardest part of the entire run. One final mile, and it almost cost him the whole thing because in that moment, he gave it a voice. I'm not saying don't acknowledge things that are happening, but we don't have to give it a place of authority. I know that there's a rock. I know that it's not maybe the ideal condition, but it just might be what we need to become exactly who God's called us to be. Cool idea of just combining grit with grace. His grace is sufficient. And then I think what our part of that is, I'm gonna be tough enough. I'm gonna decide like Paul did. He could have just sat there and be like, God, I need you to bust these doors open. But he also did his part, which was keeping that positivity. I am going to sing. I am going to lead some guards to the Lord. You know what? I am going to use this time to write because I'm in something that I think might be able to help somebody else. So his personal grit combined with God's grace gave us and produced some of the greatest articles ever written that we get to study and use today. I'm going to make one more point tonight. And so I think the reality is we've got the understanding that God wants us to produce fruit. Okay, we get that. That's our proof that we're connected to him. And even when it's difficult, that's actually what produces the greatest fruit, okay? But then maybe the second thing here is, I think that each of us are called to produce unique fruit because that's what the world needs. Harold and I are friends and we get to produce different fruit. If Ryan Bush got up here and communicated, he's a great communicator, he's gonna say it differently, he's gonna see it differently. it's going to make a lot more sense, probably be a lot deeper, okay? All the stuff, everybody brings these different things to the kingdom and the table, and we understand that. And I think the same thing applies to fruit, which is why I think we've got to give it to the world buffet style. Man, let's produce a lot of it, but let's each make sure we're doing what we can bring to the collective table. We got to each run the race that we've been called to. There's an athlete at ORU right now, and in high school, he's a pretty good athlete. Did okay, like a top 10 kid in the state as a sprinter. Did pretty good, got a little bit of accolade, came to the school, kind of had to talk him into letting him come. Wasn't really a scholarship available. And then he sees someone doing a sport he had never seen before, which is a triple jump. It's a silly one. Google triple jump fails when you get home and you'll barf all over the place, okay? It's awful. They jump like off of one leg and then sometimes it doesn't go well, okay? So jump, it's silly. I should have Grimen do it for us, but I'm not going to right now, okay? After church, watch Grimen do a triple jump. So this kid sees other people doing it. He's never even seen it before. Pretty good athlete. Realized he was pretty good at it, tries it, starts training in it. This past year became an All-American in the triple jump. But see, I think sometimes we're so set on, well, I've seen kind of the race that Chano's running. So, man, if Pastor Chano's doing that, maybe that's what my ministry should look like. And the reality is I'd be very average at trying to be a Pastor Chano. But, man, if I can recognize what the lane is, okay, God, what do you want to show me specifically? What's God got for you specifically? And it may be something you have. It's great if you've seen an example of it. And I think it's even cooler if you've never even seen anything like it before. That's where that faith is a guardrail in the dark. God, I don't even know how to get there from here. But I do trust that if I can walk with you, there's things that haven't been done or invented yet that I'm responsible for inventing. New ways of doing things. That's the unique fruit that is to each of us that we're responsible for producing. I saw an interview with Elon Musk, and like him, don't like him, I don't really care. But he said this in an interview. They were talking about all these houses that he had owned. He started SpaceX, he started PayPal, did a bunch of stuff, Tesla, big dog. And they said, why are you selling all of your homes? And he said, I know myself, and I know how particular I can be about certain things. So in each of the homes, I was trying to perfect each room, and I realized how much time it was taking for me. Trying to make every house great, every room perfect. And he said, I realized I wasn't born to perfect rooms in a house. I'm trying to take mankind to Mars. Just recognized what he thinks he's supposed to do. What's he supposed to bring to the table? I'm probably not going to get us to Mars. That's okay. Pastor Chano, maybe. You know what I'm saying? There's a chance. Jeff on the keys? Probably so. I'm just saying everybody's got a role that we're each supposed to play, and a lot of times we're getting sidetracked with things that we're no business of ours to get sidetracked with. Man, let's stay in our lane. I know I'm supposed to produce fruit, but I think it's going to be unique to you. I heard a guy say one time, he said, man, my ultimate goal is all of us, we want to be as much like Jesus as we possibly can. And then aside from that, I want to be as unique to everyone else on the planet as I possibly can at the same time. All striving to be like Jesus, and at the exact same time, walking in our unique and specific calling. How cool is God? So I think, and we talk about this, but this whole idea of comparison is what would hinder or affect that. Different studies have shown kind of different things, but during the pandemic with a lot of people being at home and social media use in general is up like 60%. It was already high. We already had a social media pandemic, and then we've got the coronavirus, and all of a sudden that increases from what it was. We're already trying to figure out how to back off from the phones, and then it does this massive jump. So now there's 60% more comparison than there was a few months ago. Well, my kids don't ever act like that. Those kids are really good. I don't know that my kids have ever been. Oh, man, that house looks nice. That car looks nice. The comparison. And I'm just telling you, I don't see where any of that's going to take us or help us progress the kingdom. We've got to resist the distraction of comparison. I was driving the other day, and I anytime I pull up at a red light, whatever car is next to me, I like to shift into neutral and just rev it a little bit, okay? Just for fun. Sometimes it's a Corvette. Sometimes it's a beetle bug. You know what I mean? Either way, I just want to see how they respond with a little rev, right? I've seen beetle bugs floor it and try to beat me off. That's great. Good for you. I like the attempt. Corvette smokes me every time, but here's the reality of that. If I'm like defeated because the Corvette beats me off the line in my truck, that's stupid. It's not even, it's apples to oranges. None of it is the same. And if I was comparing the Prius's gas miles to my truck's gas miles, I would be very disappointed every day. If the Prius was thinking it was a cool car, it would be disappointed every day. So everybody's got their stuff to deal with. You know what I mean? So it's funny because it obviously makes sense in vehicles, but then we're sitting here doing it with each other. You may not be built. You're not naturally outgoing. That's great. You might be a deep thinker. You got to do that. Man, what do you bring to the table? What's the skill set that you know is in you that you're developing that's a God gift that you've just got to simply cultivate that's different and unique from anybody else? Because there's fruit that the world needs that you're supposed to provide, which means there's people on the other side of your obedience to cultivate that fruit. We've got to be unique. We've got to be pursuing God and as different from everybody else we possibly can, because that's what's going to help the most other people. I think about David in these kind of moments. David's a unique cat with a wild story. You know so much of his story, but I think what's neat is when his dad sent him to deliver snacks to his brothers. And David could have gone there and tried to fit in with the soldiers. Man, that they've been trained. Those are cool cats. He's a shepherd. It's not as cool. But here's the thing. David didn't see himself based on his current circumstance. His dad actually told him to go deliver cheese, which is funny. It's a little queso delivery, which I appreciate. But that's his role at the time. He's not a soldier. He's a delivery boy that left giving sheep to get a better job as a delivery boy to deliver it to the cool soldiers. And if he would have seen himself as simply a delivery boy, it would have defeated everything that happened in the next few hours. He didn't see himself as that. What he actually realized was the training that God had been taking him through for that moment. I picture David out in the field, surrounded by sheep that aren't even his. They're his dad's. And he's supposed to take care of those sheep, and I think he was doing two things. He's practicing a little slingshot, and every now and then he's playing the harp. And those two things saved his life and his country in the future. So a lot of times it comes back, I want us to have big, grand thoughts. Man, God, I'm going to change the world. I think you can. I think you will. But I also think we're stewarding what we're currently doing. It's like, man, I know I'm just a shepherd boy right now. I know there's not a lot of attention being given to what your unique skill set is right now. But I'm telling you, hour upon hour out there, just throwing that slingshot. I better hit that sheep over there. Well, shoot, there's a lion. I better hit that. So he kills the lion. He kills the bear. Goliath was just the next thing in line because he had been stewarding where he currently was. Who knew that would develop into a skill that would save his country? He's just out there playing the harp. Saul freaks out. Nobody can calm Saul down. David's pretty good at the harp because that's what he was doing when nobody was watching. I think we've got to embrace that right now. I want to produce unique fruit. And we're not called to be all leafy and just kind of impress with what we can produce. We're supposed to actually give fruit that can help people sustain, that can help people survive, that can help give people hope. Man, you know what? That's good fruit. I think we can make it from here. That's what we get to do as Christians. We get to live that life. I believe God's telling some of us to quit playing around with the giants. Think about that. Man, you got to bear fruit in your life. We got to quit playing around with that giant of alcoholism. We got to quit playing around with that giant that's a current addiction. We got to quit playing around with that giant that's the hindrance in your marriage right now. David switched from a shepherd boy to a killer like that because he had been training to do it. And that's exactly what was needed. And remember, he didn't wear somebody else's armor to go do it. It was unique to him. It was his unique skill set, his unique fruit that killed that giant. So we got to quit playing around with stuff that's coming at us or messing with us or the people that can't protect themselves right now. And we've got to bear our unique fruit to actually help them. Let's attack the debt. Man, let's help other people see how to attack it. That's what God's got for us right now. I want to read you one more verse. I think sometimes in this pursuit, sometimes it's like, man, I'm just not, I can't see the big picture from here. Okay, God, I trust you. I'm going to do what I'm called to do right now. I'm going to do what you've given me right here. It's in my hand. It doesn't seem very big. And I love this verse. And again, this is a verse that's familiar to this house. And I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible just because it's such a strong statement. And it's Paul talking again. Imagine where he's writing this from. But dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. Dear Guts Church, dear Tulsa, wild times around here. But I'm asking you to enter into this spacious life that I have for you. We didn't fence you in. The smallness that you feel comes from within you. Your lives are not small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. The term we've heard before is, let's not be limited by our own affections. Man, if we're going to bear a lot of fruit and we're going to bear unique fruit, we can't limit ourselves to what God's going to do in us and through us. A lot of times we're the only thing getting in the way of helping those other people. God hasn't boxed us in. God isn't limiting us. Man, he's simply calling us to do something that nobody else has done before. So I think a lot of times we're going to fall into one of two categories. You're either feeling like you're rolling right now and things really are great. And man, I love that. I just want to challenge you to not be comfortable right there. Let's not get leafy and not bear fruit. I'm glad it's rolling. Man, let's keep that up and let's keep taking the ground that other people and you need to take. And then the second one is, it's like, man, I feel a little bit stuck. I'm one of those people that kind of doesn't like 2020. It didn't really work out well for me so far. And this is where I'd say, this is where we got to press in. This is where I would commend you for being at church tonight, because this is how we move forward. And it might just be a moment like this where it's like, you know what, I do have a unique fruit that maybe I haven't tapped into yet, and you know that that's what needs to start tonight. We know it's God's will for us to do it. Now I just want to challenge you to press into him, find out exactly what that is, and then pursue it like you've never pursued anything else in your life. And this church will help you do it. Unbelievable leadership that will help you pursue what's unique to you.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.